Okay, hello everyone. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight on a very cold night here in Washington, D.C., where we've been basically below freezing, it seems, for the last week at least. Anyway, we will tonight be talking about the nightmare known as airport travel, airline travel. What we've seen as an outgrowth of the so-called underwear bomber on Christmas Day on the flight from Holland to Detroit, Michigan, is just a repeat of what we've seen in the past. President Obama is every bit the fear president that George W. Bush was and Dick Cheney was. It's funny, we don't see a lot of Joe Biden on TV anymore. Maybe Joe realizes that this is all a bunch of nonsense. He has to realize that, so they're keeping him away from the cameras and the microphones, because one thing we know about Vice President Biden is he has a tendency to sometimes speak his mind. So you've not seen Biden around, and I think it's for that reason. They have to keep the Max Headroom president at the microphones, Barack Obama, because he's basically programmed to say what these people who are really in charge of our country actually want. So we will be talking about this brave new world of fear mongering, the extension of Bush, the what I've called the third term of George W. Bush, otherwise known as the Obama administration. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And I'm going to offer, unlike other programs, I'm actually going to offer some recommendations, what we may do. We have to look back in history to find out where we go from here. And nothing is better than to look back at where the workers of this country stood, by and large, in 1934, when another new president came to power, suggesting we were going to be lifted out of our economic problems. And he didn't move very fast as far as many workers were concerned. We were still suffering the Depression. And the workers decided that one Franklin Delano Roosevelt was not delivering on his campaign promises. But unlike people today, the workers in 1934 took measures into their own hands. And I'm telling you what they did, and you'll hear about this in this program, shook the very foundations of Washington, D.C., Wall Street, and the Department of War. We didn't have a Pentagon then, but we had a War Department. But what the workers did in several cities around the country shook the very foundations of the powers that ran this government, and it sent shockwaves not only throughout the country but around the world, that the American workers weren't going to sit down and take abuse lightly. We need to get back to that. We've become too fat, dumb, and lazy. We've got to get back to our roots. This was the generation of our fathers and grandfathers. They took matters into their own hands, and they were able to actually, in some cases, the military was called out. That's how fearful the FDR administration was of what these workers intended to do, that they were willing to go the extra mile, just like the founders of this country were willing and did go the extra mile. That's what we've got to get back to. It's called the American spirit, and we've lost it, by and large. We've lost that spirit. We've got to get back to it. We've got to throw the neocons out of power, because they are not Americans. They like to say anyone who's on the left is not an American. No, they're not the Americans, because they're fascists. They would do very well in Pinochet's Chile or Hitler's Germany or Mussolini's Italy. They don't belong in this country. We got to get rid of these people. This is Wayne Mattson. We will be right back from Washington, D.C. right after this short break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, this Saturday Roundup, coming to you live this very cold Saturday evening from Washington, D.C. And the toll-free number, if you'd like to call into the program, is 800-313-9443. That's toll-free, 800-313-9443. Getting back to the issue of what's happening at our airports in the wake of the so-called underwear bomber, this young kid, Mutalib from Nigeria, who I've reported that this whole thing was basically another and a very classic false flag operation. But what we've seen in the aftermath of this guy who tried to basically set off what was a supersized firecracker on the Northwest Delta Flight 253 from Schiphol, where I would add the security is basically controlled by an Israeli company called ICTS. ICTS is made up of former Israeli Shin Bet and Mossad officials. It also handles security here in the United States. It handles security in Israel, at Tel Aviv, Ben-Gurion Airport. But this guy gets on. Now we see people like Michael Chertoff, the former Homeland Security Secretary. And why do we still use that name for that department? Why is it that I heard an African-American congresswoman from Sheila Jackson Lee from Houston talking about protecting the homeland while she was on her bandbox for Barack Obama? That is not an American term. She should be ashamed of herself because the last country that used homeland was the apartheid regime of South Africa that used the term for its basically its black African reservations it created to basically segregate the country. They used homeland. Hitler used homeland, and interchangeably with fatherland. The Soviet Union used homeland interchangeably with motherland. This is not an American term. The people who like the term homeland are those neocons who are not Americans who need to be thrown out of this country, thrown out of their jobs in government. We need to get rid of these people because they have infested this nation in the banking industry, in government, and what little industry we have left, which is hardly anything, and also, as we see time and time again, the media. But this is what we're dealing with today. This is the situation. Let me play you a clip of Michael Chertoff. Michael Chertoff. This is a clip about what the company he represents that stands to make a lot of money on these scanners that look under your clothing. Let's listen to this clip, and let's listen to what his conflicts of interest are when it comes to these beneath-the-clothing nudity scanners that are being installed in airports around the country. If we can listen to this short news clip.
The Washington Post reports that since the attempted bombing of a U.S. airliner on Christmas Day, former Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff has given dozens of media interviews promoting the need for the federal government to buy more full-body scanners for airports. But what Chertoff hasn't been saying is that his security consulting agency, the Chertoff Group, includes a client that manufactures the machines. This relationship, which presents an obvious conflict of interest, came to light after Chertoff mentioned it on a program on CNN in response to a question. An airport passengers' rights group, FlyersRights.org, which opposes the use of the scanners, is criticizing Chertoff for using his former government credentials to promote a product that benefits his clients. Flyers Rights' Kate Haney told the Post, quote, "Mr. Chertoff should not be allowed to abuse the trust the public has placed in him as a former public servant to privately gain from the sale of full-body scanners under the pretense that the scanners would have detected this particular type of explosive." Chertoff has been promoting the body scanner since his days in the Bush administration. In 2005, Homeland Security ordered the government's first batch of the scanners, 5 from California-based Rapiscan Systems. Today, 40 body scanners are in use at 19 U.S. airports. The number is expected to skyrocket, at least in part, because of the Christmas Day incident. The Transportation Security Administration this week said it will order 300 more machines. Over the past week, Chertoff has repeatedly talked about the need for expanding the use of technology in airports.
Okay, there you have it. Mr. Chertoff stands to make a mint from these machines. I mean, the guy, I must also add, in the last week, in the United Kingdom, several child protection groups have said implementation of these under-the-clothing scanners by the United Kingdom will be a direct violation of the UK's anti-child pornography laws, which prohibit the creation of any child pornographic image. They will run children through these machines. They will be able to capture images of their naked bodies, and that is a violation of the UK law. Now, what is Gordon Brown and his merry band of neocons and his government say? They're going to get an exemption under the law. Well, I can see Mr. Chertoff. And I mean, the guy looks like Chester the Molester. I mean, would you trust this guy around your children? No way. No way. He's the kind of guy, if a kid gets assaulted at a playground, the police are going to take one look at a guy like Chertoff, and he's going to be standing in a lineup at the police station almost immediately because he looks like a weirdo. He looks like a creep. And that is because he's a weirdo and a creep. Anyway, let's go to – we have Dave on the line from Arizona. Dave, are you on with us? This is Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Hi, Dave.
How are you? Hey, I just wanted to – I think you bring up a really good point that if you look at Cheney through Halliburton and Blackwater, if you look at Chertoff through these scanners, if you look at Bush Jr. and Sr. through the Carlyle Group, these people constantly create these problems and then profit from them.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we, you know, Blackwater's now called Z is back in the news again. What is it going to take for this company to be disbarred from receiving any contracts? They had two of their employees working for a subsidiary called Paravan just indicted for murdering two people after a traffic accident in Afghanistan. Two federal judges who both are linked to the CIA have basically thrown out the civil charges brought against Blackwater. That's Ricardo Urbina, a Clinton appointee here in Washington, and Judge T.S. Ellis III over in Alexandria at the CIA's favorite court, the Eastern District of Virginia Rocket Docket. Both these judges should be thrown off the bench because they're bought and paid for by the Central Intelligence Agency. They have no business wearing those black robes. But you're absolutely right. Chertoff now has something called the Chertoff Group. Who's his partner in that? Michael Hayden, the former CIA director and NSA director who brought us wonderful things like warrantless wiretapping, Operation Stellar Wind, and also torture and rendition. And this is his partner. I mean, these people don't belong in the jail, but they belong under the jail.
We should almost call Blackwater the mercenary Cheney networker. You know what I mean?
It is. It's totally, you know, it's funny. If you go back and look at the debates in the United Nations back in the 1960s, you'll hear delegates from countries saying, you know, we got to do something about these mercenaries, these French mercenaries and Belgian and Portuguese mercenaries overthrowing governments in Africa on behalf of mining companies and oil companies. And you know where these speeches were given by the delegate from the United States. And now we turn around fully and now we embrace that type of operation, a mercenary operation. That's how much this country's changed for the worse. And Obama's just part of the whole operation. As I say, he's the third term of George W. Bush. He's Bush Cheney 3.0, if you will. That's what we're getting. He's losing his base. Many people on the Republican side are looking and going, oh my God, Sarah, I think we're right probably for a third party or an independent candidate in 2012.
Libertarian or independent?
Libertarian, independent, you know, whatever it may be, whether it's a Jesse Ventura, he's getting much more popular now with this series on conspiracies. I wish they would have found another name for it, though, because, you know, the media has loaded that term, unfortunately.
That's probably how they got it on the air.
That's right. That's right. That's the only way, because, you know, only the government feels okay when they have RICO statutes, and they charge people with criminal conspiracy. This is how they usually get people in the mafia. But when somebody accuses the government of being involved in a conspiracy, then, you know, they're relegated to the, crazy land. Get over there with the little green men and the people who worship crystals. You know, this is what we have. And unfortunately, but I see somebody like Jesse Ventura. I think some of the other candidates we've seen in the past, I mean, they're becoming, Yeah, well, unfortunately, they've been around so long, they almost become cartoon characters. I don't say that disparagingly. It's that they've had their Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame. I think people are looking for somebody a little different, because let's face it, Dennis Kucinich has ran a few times. He's not made it. Ron Paul has ran several times. He hasn't made it. And two parties, I would add. He ran as a Libertarian candidate and as a Republican, but anyway, people like Mike Gravel, who's a friend of mine, he gave it a very good effort. But I see it may be time for somebody else, a new face, because, you know, I think people are just fed up with what they got. They thought they were getting a new face with Obama, but they realized they basically got a Wall Street Republican in there.
Yeah, exactly. The more they change, the more they stay the same.
Exactly. The French have a great expression for that. When I think of French and George W. Bush, I'm often reminded of something he said. He said, "Take France for example. The French don't even have a word for entrepreneur." We thought that was over with that stupidity. Now what's happening at our airports? Let's just look at the last 48 hours. F-15s were called out to escort a Hawaiian Airlines plane back to Portland, Oregon, from Hawaii, because a guy filled out a comments card and made a reference to Gilligan's Island. He said, "I hope we don't crash because I wouldn't want to wind up on Gilligan's Island with Mrs. Thurston Howell III. Can you imagine? That caused a terrorist alert.
That's stupid.
Anyway, thanks for calling in, Dave.
Thanks a lot.
And we will be right back with your calls and further comments right after this break.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Wayne Master Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. And I was talking about this new company headed up by former Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, who's pushing these under-the-clothing scanners, these millimeter wave scanners. They're manufactured by now three companies, ICX Technology, L3, and OSI, which is run by an Indian gentleman. Let's remember what Mr. Kurt Haskell said about Amsterdam Airport, that Mr. Muttalib was shown onto the plane by a well-dressed older Indian man who looked very wealthy. I'm not saying it's the same guy, but it does show that there may be an Indian connection, as I reported, that this was a false flag operation run by the CIA, Mossad, and India's Research and Analysis Wing, the RAW, India's version of the CIA and Mossad. And here we have a company that stands to make billions of dollars in with these machines, OSI, who Michael Chertoff just so happens to be consulting for, and Chertoff's partner is none other than Michael Hayden. I want to play this clip. This is from their joint appearance on Meet the Press with one of these neocon media people, David Gregory. You can say a lot about Tim Russert, but Tim Russert on occasion did ask some tough questions, especially when he asked the two 2004 presidential candidates, John Kerry and George W. Bush, about the skull and bones. You can look at their faces. They were shocked to get that question. But Tim, of course, is no longer with us. Maybe that's the reason why, or one of the reasons why. But let's listen to this clip of David Gregory asking a question to Hayden about Mr. Muttalib, specifically profiling of young Arab Muslim men by aviation security authorities. Let's listen to this.
General Hayden, are we effectively ethnically profiling potential suspects who want to hurt the United States?
I'm not quite sure of the context in which you're asking the question, David, about ethnically profiling, but with regard to intelligence...
Well, isn't there a profile of who we think the terrorists are?
Right. Of course there is, but it's based more on behavior. I mean, for example, the individual in question here, Abdul Muttalib, I mean, he would not have automatically fit a profile if you were standing next to him in the visa line at Dulles, for example. So it's the behavior that we're attempting to profile. And it's the behavior, these little bits and pieces of information that were in the databases, that we didn't quite stitch together at this point in time. But it wasn't a question of ethnicity or religion. Those are contributing factors, but it's what people do that we should be paying attention to.
But I want to press Secretary Chertoff on this point, whether because I've spoken to counterterror officials and say it's more than a contributing factor. We know who 90% of these terrorists are. There may be other examples of women being used in the what and whatnot, but Islamic males between the age of 20 and 30 make up roughly 90% of that profile. Is that an inappropriate or appropriate way for law enforcement to be targeting individuals?
I think relying on preconceptions or stereotypes is actually kind of misleading and arguably dangerous. Obviously,
wrong. That profile's wrong?
Correct. Now, what I would say is you want to look at things like where has a person traveled to, where have they spent time, what has their behavior been? But recognize, one of the things that Al-Qaeda has done is deliberately try to recruit people who don't fit the stereotype, who are Western in background or appearance. Look at a guy like Adam Gadan, who grew up in California, who's one of the senior-level Al-Qaeda operatives, but does not fit the normal prejudice about what an extremist looks like.
Yes, Mr. Chertoff, let's look at Adam Gadan from Southern California and profiling. Adam Gadan's name is Adam Perlstein. Adam Perlman grew up. He's a Jewish kid. One of his relatives was the head of the Southern California Anti-Defamation League. Yes, let's look at people like Perlman, Mr. Chertoff. Let's look at other people like young Israeli art students who were basically tracking, I believe they were providing security cover for the 9/11 hijackers before 9/11. Let's look at the movers who were seen celebrating the first plane impacting on the World Trade Center in New Jersey, videotaping the event because they said we were documenting. Let's look at you want to profile Mr. Chertoff? Let's look at your friends from Israel. Let's run through interrogation every young Israeli man and woman who comes into this state claiming they're tourists but decide to start working at kiosks and shopping malls and asking people, including our military people and law enforcement people, questions about their jobs and where they're on deployment to. Yes, let's profile Mr. Chertoff, because, you know, when we start profiling your folks, Mr. Chertoff, we're going to uncover a nest that you won't believe, and people will be demanding, Mr. Chertoff, you not have any further contracts with the federal government because you are nothing more than somebody who has promoted this fear in this country, who's profiting from the fear in this country, and it's high time you abide and your friend, General Hayden, I hate calling him General. Let's call him Mr. Hayden, because, you know, that means that I recognize the fact he was promoted. He should have never been promoted beyond airman in the military. He should have been busted down to airman. He should have been working at a bowling alley at an Air Force base. But that basically, what we have now is Chertoff and Hayden are violating the revolving door prohibitions. They are basically trying to get contracts and influencing the agencies they used to work for, which are the CIA and the Homeland Security Department. Disgraceful that Mr. Obama is not cracking down on this and allowing this kind of ripoff of the American taxpayers to continue. Just absolutely disgraceful. And we will be right back with more disgraces about this nation right after this short break. This is Wayne Madsen from Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Okay. Welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report, the Saturday Roundup. And if you'd like to call into the program, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We're talking about this fear factor, what's happened since the laughable underwear bomber tried to blow up his underpants on Christmas Day as his flight was arriving in Detroit. We know now that an attorney couple from Michigan on that flight said that they witnessed a scene in Amsterdam where this person was allowed to board the flight without a passport. Now this couple's being harassed, as is always the case by these neocons that control the media. And I believe the Haskells are telling the truth, because we've seen other whistleblowers come forward and get the same kind of treatment from these slugs, these neocon slugs who are so glib and smart alecky, because they get, you know, a 1 hour program on Sunday morning on NBC, or they dominate CNN on every weekday afternoon. And you know who I'm talking about, David Gregory and Walt Blitzer and all of their ideological colleagues out there. But anyway, what we're seeing now is just, it's incredible that a guy was arrested in Newark because he walked behind a security line to kiss his, I believe it was his wife, goodbye. So they shut down the airport. Bakersfield Airport was shut down because a liquid was found in a passenger's check-in luggage. It turned out it was bee honey. honey is now dangerous. I mean, we're just going crazy here. Two guys hauled off an Emirates plane in Heathrow because they had, you know, they were drinking so much. What else are you going to do when you got to put up with this Nazi behavior in the airport, but go and drink? And now that's a crime if you've had too much to drink. It's just incredible what's going on. Who wants to fly anymore? Police in New York picking up people involved with so-called conspiracies, limo drivers at JFK. I mean, it's total insanity. Over what? Over a staged and phony incident to get airports to buy these underwear under the clothing scanners, so people like Chertoff and Hayden can sit there and watch these images of celebrities, famous, you know, actresses. They can look at their breast implants, and you know, they can look at other things, you know, on these Hollywood actors, and get their jollies, because these guys, you just look at Hayden and look at Chertoff, and you can see these two guys sitting together chortling over these images, and sitting there and then also collecting their billions of dollars from selling these scanners to these airports. It's ridiculous. And of course in Britain, they're known to be illegal because they produce images that are considered child pornography. But that's not going to stop the neocons. They kind of like child pornography. You know, why, what's wrong with that? These are sick people, very sick people, the neocon. When you look at the neocon mind, you're looking at a very sick individual, and unfortunately they have all this power. But in the past, 1934, new president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, came in. The workers of the country were hoping he was going to get us out of the Depression. Roosevelt actually thought he could deal with Wall Street. He was sadly mistaken. He became better later in his third and fourth administrations, as far as, you know, saying he wanted universal health care for America. He talked about a second Bill of Rights with a lot of economic rights. But in 1934, he was still trying to deal, and he didn't know that they were trying to, these Wall Street fascists were trying to overthrow him. They're using people like W. Bush's grandpappy, Prescott, were involved in a plot to use the American Legion to overthrow President Roosevelt. We know that from the great former Marine Corps or late Marine Corps General Smedley Butler. He broke open that conspiracy. But in the early days, Roosevelt had something called the National Recovery Administration. He put a general in charge of it named Hugh Johnson. So what happened when the workers of San Francisco had enough and went on a general strike? The Roosevelt administration saw that as a threat to the national security of the United States. The Republican governor of California called out the National Guard, and all they were doing is, in those days, they were talking about, there's communists everywhere. There's communists behind the strike. Well, communists in those days, that's what we use terrorists today. It's the fear factor. You got to have a bogeyman, and it was the communists back then. It's the terrorists today. There's no difference. It's the fascists who push these invisible boogeymen out there. And let's listen to this clip. This is a documentary about what happened and how the Roosevelt administration and the governor of California responded to a general strike in San Francisco in 1934, a strike that threatened to spread around the country. There were similar strikes in Minneapolis and Toledo, but this could have been the start of a second American Revolution. Let's hear how they dealt with it.
The summer of 1934 was a season of protest. New federal laws supported the right to join unions, and across America, a wave of strikes tested the New Deal's commitment to labor. In San Francisco, striping longshoremen had closed the port for 2 months. Violence erupted when police broke through strikers' picket lines. 2 men were killed, more than 70 injured. Within hours, California's governor, Frank Merriam, declared a state of emergency.
Forbearance with the striking longshoremen in San Francisco has passed the point of common sense and good citizenship. I have ordered the National Guard of California to move into San Francisco to safeguard life, to protect state property, and to preserve order.
Labor leaders believed that Merriam had called out the guard to break the strike. In support of the longshoremen, more than 100,000 union workers walked off their jobs calling for a citywide general strike. San Francisco shut down. People began to hoard food. The Roosevelt administration was now torn between supporting or condemning the general strike. New Deal Administrator Hugh Johnson spoke for those who felt that labor had gone too far.
You are living out here under the stress of a general strike. Now the right of dissatisfied men to strike against a recalcitrant employer is inviolate. But the general strike is quite another matter. That is a threat to the community. That is a menace to government. That is civil war.
After 4 days, workers called off the general strike. Longshoremen and shipowners agreed to arbitration, and the city came back to life. For many, the strike was a warning of the power which the New Deal had placed in the hands of ordinary working people. And troops on the streets of San Francisco triggered fears that the country was on the brink of revolution.
In addition to riflemen,
moviegoers across America saw alarming reports of the general strike.
Also, the police have organized the only mounted gas squad in the world. They've been ordered to round up the rest. The radical agitators blamed for the virulence of the strike. They're out to comb the railroad yard, to rout out nests of communists hiding in empty boxcars. That gas will drive them into the open. Yep, there's a bunch of them now, dodging the stinging gas clouds.
Well, there you have it. Back in 1934, Roosevelt didn't deliver. There was a general strike in San Francisco. The government did what they always do. They called out the National Guard. A general in charge of the New Deal. A general in charge of the New Deal. I mean, that's like a fox in charge of the hen house. You don't put your... So people were disgusted with Roosevelt. They went on general strike. But the idea of a general strike, you heard several references. Civil war, that's what they were worried about. That is the sort of the opening to civil war. And what's it going to take for the American people, the American workers, to do what they did back in 1934? Well, let me give you a couple examples. Obama now wants to tax the very meager health plans of union workers negotiated through arbitration over years. Tax those. Well, what about the Wall Street guy? No, he's giving them bailouts and everything. Billions for them. Tax the union health plans that are only marginal. They're marginal. And also, the word I'm getting from the Treasury Department, they're going to go after the 401ks. You got a 401k, they're talking about grabbing those 401ks, and when you're of a certain retirement age, they will take that money and pay you an annuity out of it. An annuity. Not, you won't get your full 401. If you die, well, guess what? The government's got your money. This is what they're planning. Is that enough? Is that enough? What we need to do, we need to start another. There's got to be another general strike. There's got to be a nationwide general strike in this country, and Canada, too, and Mexico. Let's tear those borders down. They want NAFTA. Give them NAFTA. Give them a workers' general strike in all of North America, where workers hold hands from Ontario all through the United States down to Mexico City. That's, we'll give them NAFTA. They want NAFTA? Let's give them NAFTA. Let's give them a workers' NAFTA, one that they'll never forget. And also, what we need to do is forget the you know, the yuppies will still go to Starbucks, but they won't be able to drink their lattes because Starbucks will be shut down because it won't get the coffee in. The railroads will be shut down. Trucking will be shut down. We'll block the roads. We'll block the railroads. We'll shut this country down, and then Obama might take notice, just like Roosevelt did in his later administrations, his later terms in office. He realized that he could not deal with the people in Wall Street. Obama's got to wake up and understand that, too. Anyway, Clarence has been holding on patiently in Oklahoma. Clarence, good to have you on again.
Yes, I always like to hear your expositions on what's going on here, because you're hitting it right. You're hitting the nail right on the head, as it were.
Thank you.
And when I think about it, this goes so much farther than if the American people really knew, like the Crouch Bomber, if they really knew about him. Look, this is... When I was in college, I read a thing called, I took philosophy and whatever, and I had to read the Machiavelli. This whole thing is all about that thing.
Absolutely. It's the fear. It's the fear factor.
Go ahead.
It's fear. And even Roosevelt did say in his inaugural address, although he didn't abide by this, he tried to play the fear card against the labor in this country, but he said we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah.
But he used it himself against communists. You heard his general in charge of the National Recovery Administration talking about, you know, civil war and you know, they were looking for communists in every boxcar and behind every tree. They were the terrorists of their day. They call them the Reds. Now they call them jihadis. It's no different. It's the same bloody thing.
It's never changed.
It's never changed. And you know, the only thing is, the only hope for Obama is that he does like FDR does and realizes he can't deal with these people. And he outflanks them. But basically, I don't have any. We knew about FDR's background. We still don't know a lot about Obama's background. There's a lot of blank spots in his, you know, in his career. And I wouldn't hold my breath on him, but I think it's very telling too. As I said, you haven't heard Joe Biden say anything. I think they've got a muzzle on Joe Biden because, you know, let's face it, you know, Biden is Biden, and you know, he's a BS artist, but it takes a BS artist to, you know, recognize other BS. And I really believe they got a muzzle Biden because he may come out and say, oh, come on now, this is ridiculous, you know. And that's the last thing they want.
Yeah, what I would like to say here is, you know, I said this earlier on a other show, Machiavelli, this is what this is all about. These people are doing things underhanded. And when I went to college, I took social political philosophy, and I had to read The Prince.
Right.
Machiavelli.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on right now. And that's what's going on in all these wars. They're going to keep us going on all these wars until this country is broke.
Right, right.
Well, it's already broke.
And it's going to take the people in all these countries to basically stop listening to their leaders and start talking to one another and coordinate their activities to get rid of these governments. As I said, you know, if the Wall Street boys want NAFTA, let's give them a workers' NAFTA. Let's tear down these border controls between the United States and Canada and the U.S. and Mexico, and just let's say, oh yeah, we've got a new enemy. It's called the governments in Ottawa, Washington D.C. and Mexico City, and we're jointly going to go after these governments and pull them apart.
Pitchforks and torches.
Absolutely. Look what Harper did in Canada. The Prime Minister Harper in Canada, he was too embarrassed about rumors. I mean, not rumors, but I mean, we have evidence that there was Canadian troops were involved in torture of Afghan detainees. So what did he abolish Parliament for 2 months? He prorogued Parliament. I mean, this is unheard of. I thought Canada was supposed to be a democratic country. So it's the same situation there. The president of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, is there because he stole the election from the guy who was the people's candidate, López Obrador. These are the enemies of the enemy. It's not Al Qaeda.
Of people having their own rights and being able to live their lives as they want to.
Right. And as I say, in Britain, Britain with that awful government over there, I mean, I can't believe the British are just so lackadaisical and not demanding, do another Guy Fawkes, except this time be successful.
After 500 years, 600 years, whatever it is.
And it's still a wonderful thought, I think, the idea that Guy Fawkes wanted to blow
He finally, and of course, they have a day, though, they keep the people under their thumb. Right?
It's still
celebrated. Guy Fawkes Day.
That's right. It's still, but it's funny how people celebrate it. They either celebrate it to, celebrate the fact that Guy Fawkes was caught and executed. Other people celebrate it for the idea of what could have been,
exactly.
And it wasn't successful.
Exactly.
But anyway, so
let you go here because it's getting near the end of the show, and if anyone wants to else in, that's fine. But I tell you what, I have one thing against you, and that's your end deal about the Virginian.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, listen, you'll be able to hear that at the end of the show. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Aaron.
Take care.
And we will be right back after this short break from Washington.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report coming to you from Washington, D.C., and we've been talking about the fear of travel, the fear that's the Obama administration has reinstilled. The change, Mr. Obama, no thanks. We don't need any of your change. Keep the change. You're nothing more than right now the third term for George W. Bush. You are doing everything that the people of this country did not elect you to do. But let's look at just some of the nonsense going on. It's a total breakdown. We got a TSA, Transportation Security Administration agent in LAX, who has been suspended because he said, I am God, I'm in charge. Look, most of these people who work for TSA, I'll be very honest with you, they're marginally less intelligent than the person who runs the French fry station at McDonald's. I mean, they're usually young. They've got a career ahead of them. A lot of these people, the TSA screeners, are wash-ups. They couldn't handle jobs flipping burgers at McDonald's. This is what they hire. And now they're talking about installing at airports, in addition to these machines that can look under your clothing and get a naked image of your body, mind reading machines. I mean, we are there. All those science fiction movies you've seen with Sly Stallone and Schwarzenegger and the rest of those, we're there. We are there. We're just on the verge of that, or we're already there. So we have seen it come. It's happening. And everyone's just going along with business as usual. We need a popular workers' revolution in this country to stop this cold right now. Look at this. The UBS, the Union Bank of Switzerland, UBS whistleblower who blew the whistle on these offshore accounts, he gets sentenced to 40 months in jail. It should be people like Timothy Geithner going to jail. Ben Bernanke, not on the cover of Time magazine as their man of the year. He should be on the FBI website as somebody who's been put away in prison for white collar crime activities. That's what we should see. But we're not, of course, seeing that because, you know, these are they put the wrong people in jail. Janet Napolitano promises stricter aviation security. What? I mean, you're going to look under our clothes. You're going to read our minds. What's next, Napolitano? I mean, she is disgraceful. Why did Obama pick this woman who was a governor of Arizona, who ran on this platform? I think she was pro putting the wall up. I mean, we need to be tearing walls down. I'll quote Ronald Reagan, tear down this wall. But what are we doing? People like Chertoff and his gang of thieves are in favor of putting up this wall on the U.S.-Mexican border. Now they want to increase security on the U.S.-Canadian border. That's not to keep them out. That's to keep us in. Not that going to Mexico or Canada is any great shakes right now, because Canada basically is a fascist nation. The prime minister, neocon prime minister up there, dissolved the parliament because he didn't want them investigating abuse of detainees in Afghanistan. The lickspittle president of Mexico, he's in the hip pocket of Wall Street. He's out of Wall. He's one of their guys. This is what we've got going on. And so when you hear Hugo Chavez in Venezuela and Ahmadinejad in Iran talk about this, this threat they have from this new world order, they're absolutely correct. It is a threat. Anyway, that'll do it for this week. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report from Washington, D.C. Join us this time next week where we will be talking about the previous week's outrages. Hopefully they won't get any more outrages than we've seen this past week, but give them time. Give them money, and they'll come up with something. Thanks for joining us.